This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, enjoy today's message with Adam Donier.
We're going to finish up a series today called Lessons Learned. So a few weeks back, Ted said, hey, we're going to do a series called Lessons Learned, and I want you to grab from Ecclesiastes a passage you want to share and just kind of how did God use the pandemic to teach you some things, and I love it. And so when he asked me that, I started thinking of when Ted, Joe White, and I used to travel about 10 years ago. We used to do a deal called Men at the Cross, where we would travel all over the nation and do these men's events with fathers and sons and just encourage them to be the leaders of their home and the discipler of their sons. And so we would travel all over it. Well, I was turning 30, and so I started asking all these speakers and authors and business owners, people who were a part of these events, this question. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you were 30? So I was trying to learn lessons from them then. And then 10 years later, now I'm 40, I'm looking back at the same things they shared. So I compiled this list of like 100 answers from CEO, guys on the Forbes 100 list, Division I coaches, authors, pastors, CFO, just a really good compiled list of advice. And then I narrowed it down to things that say synonymous things or that I just thought were really pointed. And I said, here's some good lessons that I want to share with you guys. And this is the list that ended up becoming 15 things. Lessons learned from people that have lived life much longer than I have. Number one, the most important person you can lead is yourself. Number two, nothing is more valuable than relationships, especially our relationship with Jesus. Amen. Number three, maximize the moments with your children. And I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit today. Number four, listen. You will never find the pulse of your family or your organization if you don't learn to listen. Number five, worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra problem while chewing bubble gum. Rid yourself of worry. Number six, become a better steward of your financial resources through investments and wise decision making. The older you get, the more you'll want to give away. Being able to do so begins with the financial decisions you make today. Number seven, balance. The words no and not now are empowering when accompanied with wisdom. Number eight, spend time reading and receiving the truth every day because the world will only lie to you the rest of the day. Number nine, saying I'm sorry when spoken from a genuine heart has great healing power. Number 10, and this was 10 years ago, so don't think this has anything to do with today. 10, character should always trump talent. Number 11, retreat and rest. If ships don't come back to the harbor, they'll eventually sink. You guys have seen those motivational posters that says ships weren't made for the harbor. You're right. They were meant to sail. But if they don't eventually come back to the harbor, if we don't come and retreat and rest at Jesus' feet, and we're going all week, if we don't come here and retreat and rest, we'll eventually sink. Retreat and rest. Number 12, don't stop learning. You are not as smart as you think you are. Number 13, learn to value patience. We have a lot of those opportunities with roundabouts in this town, don't we? You're likely to learn more while you wait. Number 14, time management. Without it, time will control you. And number 15, develop authentic and deep relationships with men and women who will sharpen you and see through you. Those were some really good lessons applied for me in the last decade, and they've held true and they still hold true as I go into this next decade of living. And so today's title is Make the Most. And I'm keenly aware of everything that is going on in our culture and everything that's going around and the worry and the anxiety and all that stuff that is filling this place today and our online viewers as well, and even watching that they have. And I'll be honest, I can go there, and I got this amazing text from a friend this week that I have to share with you guys. And it's so powerful, the moment that we're currently on the heels of the week we've just been through as a country. Here it is. Here's the text. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because the world they're going to grow up in is not exactly what it was for you. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they are in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of His word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know that they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels, Davids, Esthers, and Peters. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's going to do with the mess of a world. He has an army he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness God placed on them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. Amen. So we've been going through these lessons learned. And I think we like to take quotes and attribute them to more popular people we know of the time, so it sounds more credible. But this was not a Tim Tebow quote, contrary to what people try to say. This was actually from Abernathy, who is an activist and a Christian. And he said this: I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I think in that reality, we can find great solace. I know the world is crazy. But it's never not been crazy. You think it was easy to be a Christian in Rome post-Jesus' days, right? And God is going to use everything and anything to get our hearts, and he is in control. He's never not been on the throne. He's still on the throne, and he'll continually be on the throne. How many of you in here know who this is? Just curious, show of hands. Anybody in here know who this is? Do we have any Vietnam War vets in the room today? I'm just curious. Anybody in here serving Vietnam? Thank you so much for your service. That's amazing. This is actually Admiral James Stockdale. James Stockdale was actually a VP candidate with Ross Perot a few years ago. But before that, he served in Vietnam. And he is one of the most recognized and accredited naval officers of our time. He's got about every award and Purple Heart and Medal of Honor you can imagine. He is highly revered in naval circles. Well, he was shot down on September 9th, 1965 in Vietnam, where he would be a prisoner of war for the next 7.5 years. And while he was a prisoner, the Vietnamese would try to use him as propaganda. And when he knew this was about to happen, he'd beat his face up so bad, or he'd cut himself, or he'd mar himself so that he couldn't be used for their agenda. Very brave. But Jim Collins, who wrote the book Good to Great, which I just finished reading, interviewed him a few years ago and asked him, why did he survive prison camp and so many other people didn't? And he said, well, it's the difference of this. So many people that I was in prison with, as a prisoner of war with, would say, hey, we're going to get out by Christmas. And then they would say, we're going to get out by Easter. And then Easter would come and they still wouldn't be out. And then they'd say, we're going to get out by Thanksgiving. And then Thanksgiving would come and they still wouldn't. And then it'd be Christmas again and they would die of a broken heart. They would lose hope. And so when Jim Collins interviewed him, he came to develop what is known as the Stockdale paradox of what he was explaining, of why he was able to survive 7.5 years in a prison camp and why so many other people that were with him were not able to survive. As his focus was different. And so this is in essence what the Stockdale paradox was. This is a very important lesson. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. We're doing this with coronavirus and the pandemic and politics. Oh, if it's going to be done by Christmas. Everything's going to be back to normal by Easter. Everything's going to be back to normal by this summer. And so we live with this everything. And then when it gets there and it's not, we just stay more anxious and more. God just wants us to live in the moment. And so Admiral Stockdale would tell you he went through 7.5 years of HE double hockey sticks because he lived in the moment. He realized he had faith that he was going to get through it, but he was also willing to confront the facts and live there in faith rather than, If this just gets here, God hasn't promised you and I tomorrow. I don't know I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I might. He promised me today That's why it's called a present. It's a gift of today. He's given all of you and I today. We get to live in today. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. We don't need to worry about what's on the horizon. Yes, I think we should be planners, which you know how to get God to laugh. Tell him your plans, right? You know the biggest joke of 2020 was a day planner. How did that work for you? That was the biggest waste of money any of us had last year. Was a 2020 day planner. And so we just need to be realized, hey, we can maximize today. We have this moment. And that's why the title of this final series in Lessons Learned is Make the Most of the Moments God Gives You. And so do any of you know what this number is right here? Any guesses what this number is? That's a record. So that's 100,825,272,852 and one. Does anybody know what that record is? Want to take a stab at it? Death, good job. Well done. That's the death. That's approximately how many people have lived. When I asked Katie this when we were setting our notes up before the services, she goes, COVID deaths? I said, Katie, you've been watching too much CNN, girl. No, that's definitely not the COVID deaths. That's the death. That's approximately how many people have lived on earth and died. So what's the one? Come on, you're in church. What's the one? Jesus, thank you. That's the one. It's Jesus. He's the only one that's defeated death. And so not to be a pessimist, but every single one of you in here are going to die unless Jesus comes back, which please, Lord Jesus, come back, right? But every one of us in here are going to die. But what's great about that one, if all of us are going to die, death isn't inevitable. It's knocking all of our doors. The sting of death is gone. Jesus is taking it. He tasted the sting of death so you and I don't have to. But if this is a reality, if this is death's record, and we all know, what are we living for? What are we living for? Are we living for 401ks? We living for a big house? We living to accumulate materials? Because Billy Graham says he's never ever seen this in his entire life, and neither have I. I haven't seen that, have you? Can you imagine? You walk into the pearly gates, you see Jesus, he's at the throne of God, and you're coming into him, and he's like, hold on, Jesus, let me get all my stuff out of my U-Haul real quick. Never seen it. And it's crazy. So much of our worry and so much of our anxiety and so much of what's going on is really protecting our money and our resources and our taxes and everything else. Whoa, 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 God, don't touch that. You ain't taking it with you. Naked you came into this earth, naked you're going home. That's what the scripture says. You ain't bringing anything with you. That was the image a lot of you didn't want. I'm sorry about that, okay? But that's the truth. But your body will be glorified, so be encouraged, okay? There you go. But we've never seen this, right? How about this number? What about this cash number? 86,400. Does anybody know? Want to take a stab at it? If I gave you $86,400 when you woke up, and I said, this is yours, but whatever you don't spend at the end of the day, it does not carry over. You're not going to get it back. You don't get to invest it. Whatever you spend is yours. Whatever you don't spend all comes back to me. But guess what? When you wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to write you another check for $86,400. And whatever you choose to spend, you get to spend. Whatever not, I get back. Every single one of you knuckleheads in here would spend every last penny of that $86,400. Can I get an amen? You ain't giving me anything back. There's no way. That's seconds in a day. Every single one of you in here have 86,400 seconds every single day. Turns over, time starts going. Next day, you don't get any of those seconds back. You don't get any of those moments back. And so when Ted asked me, man, what has Corona done for you? What have you learned? What is the lesson you've learned? It's moments. I go, go, go. I don't sit still very well at all. The family got to go to Disney World before Christmas break. We're down there, my wife's videoing stuff, and she shows me a video of myself. And I'm like, holy cow. I leave them in the dust all the time on accident. We got to hit Thunder Mountain. We got to hit Space Mountain. We got to hit Splash Mountain. And she showed me a video. I'm just bing, 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 bing. I just go fast. I don't sit still very well. I don't speak very slow either. And so that's just, I'm just wired that way. But Corona slowed me down a ton. And what God taught me in that lesson, in this season, maximize the moments with your two boys. Maximize those moments with your wife. sit in this season, sit in this moment. It was like a beautiful sabbatical that I didn't know I needed because everything slowed down for me. And I was just sitting in the moments with my kids and my wife, and God was teaching me, I give you those moments all the time, even when things are normal in our world and there isn't a pandemic, and you miss them all the time, Adam. But guess what? I got so much grace and so much love for you. I'm going to keep giving you moments every single day. And he gives them to every single one of you. He gives you moments every single day. He's giving you moments. He's giving you moments at the restaurant with your waiter or waitress. He gives you moments at Target or Walmart when you go through the checkout stand and there's someone you can encourage. He gives you moments with your spouse. He gives you moments with your grandkids. He gives you moments with your kids. He gives you moments with your peers and your coworkers. He gives you moments every single day, and we get so distracted and we miss these moments and we don't get the opportunity to walk into them because of our phones or our football games or different things, and we miss it, right? Ted and I have been walking through with a married couple with some things, and Ted's been teaching me a lot, and he showed me this thing on the Gottman Institute, and the Gottman Institute talks about bid for connection. And so all day long, spouses make bids for connection. For an example, I could be watching a football game. My wife could want to come show me something that one of the Instagram follower girls, trendy ladies that she follows on Instagram, she wants to show me something. And in that moment, she's making a bid for connection, right? And now I can be like, oh, whatever, and keep watching the football game and ignore that bid for connection. Or I can hit mute on the football game, turn to her, and engage in that bid for connection at that moment. As a moment God's given me with my spouse. And you know what's crazy? The Gottman Institute says marriages don't fail because of infidelity and money as much as they fail for a disconnection because spouses over time keep missing those bids for connection. And your spouses are giving you those bid for connections all the time. Hey, sweetie, can I tell you how work went today? Maybe later. I'm busy right now. Really? You're busy doing what? Oh, you know, the football game's on. And so you miss these bid for connections, or I call them moments, these divine moments that God gives us all the day throughout the day. About a week ago, I'm checking out at Walmart. Sweet John, who's a retired war vet, who's semi-retired, because obviously he's not fully retired if he's working at Walmart. And he's checking me out. And the guy in front of him, it was an interesting interaction. He was grumpy. And I said, you know what? God has given me a moment right now to speak life and love into John's life. That's a moment. Now, I could be like most of us that go through the check stand and be right here the whole time and, yep, yeah, how much? Oh, thanks. Okay, chicken. And completely miss a moment God had for me with Mr. John at Walmart checking me out. Like, you know what? God, this is a moment. So we got in a good conversation. I encouraged him. I loved on him. He had a smile on his face when I left. It was a great interaction. Have a great night. Have a great night. And all of a sudden, his demeanor changed. Now, I could have chose not to walk in that moment like several of us do all the time and like that I'm guilty of. But God keeps giving us these moments. And you'll wake up tomorrow and you'll get another 86,400 seconds. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it if you wake up tomorrow? I don't want to sound pessimistic, but the reality is none of us are promised tomorrow. We're right here today in this church worshiping Jesus, which is a gift from God. And we get to maximize that. And so the Ecclesiastes passage that ties into maximizing moments is Ecclesiastes 9:7 through 9. But here's 9:7. Go, eat your bread with joy. The word enjoy literally means to be in joy. And remember, when your source of joy is Jesus, nobody can rob you of your joy. When your source of joy is your work or your success and your boss gets mad at you, your job, your joy is going to be robbed. When your source of joy is your spouse and you get in a fight, your joy is going to be robbed. When your source of joy is your kids and they start making foolish decisions, your joy is going to be robbed. But when your source of joy is Jesus, nobody can take that from you. He's promised. He's sealed you. You are his. The shepherd does not allow his sheep to be lost, okay? And so go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. Sorry for all my legalistic friends. God is saying this, not me. You can have a glass of wine. Don't get drunk. Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine to celebrate. It's a celebratory thing. You have wine. So he's saying celebrate life. Enjoy it. Don't do it licentiousness either. Don't walk into licentiousness and be like, I'm not under the law. I'm under the grace. No, that leads to drunkenness. Be wise. No legalism, no licentiousness. The gospel. Celebrate life. Regardless of the predicament we see ourselves in now, celebrate life. Eat your bread with joy. So the Doniers have 7 pillars. They're on our wall. We walk through each pillar every night at the dinner table. And one of those 7 pillars is table. So for us, and this happened before the pandemic, we sit down at the dinner table as a family every night. Cell phones aside, no TV on, no Nintendo Switches, nothing. We sit down at the table, we go through the table, highs and lows, and then we talk about one of our seven pillars. Because we honor the table, we laugh, we joke. Our six-year-old says some pretty off-the-wall things that we all laugh at. We have an enjoyable time. We celebrate family. We celebrate that moment that we get, and we get technology away. For God has already approved for what you to do. Here's the problem. The ability to enjoy the moment is often hijacked by outside distractions. All week long, God has given you and I moments. All week long. He'll give you a moment when you leave church here today. He'll give you a moment with a person or an individual. He'll give you moments continually, and we miss them. He'll give you a moment with your spouse. He'll give you a moment with a stranger. And in that opportunity, you either can step into that moment or you're going to retreat. And technology's given us a shield or a wall to where we are so easily able to retreat from stepping into those moments. And so many times, you have no idea how much you're going to enjoy that moment if you would step into it rather than allowing distractions to hijack it. It goes on to say, Ecclesiastes 9:8, let your garments be always white. That color white is a celebratory thing. Right? It's to celebrate weddings. Why? So he's saying, celebrate. Celebrate life. I gave you this gift of life. Celebrate it. Don't live woe is me. Oh my gosh, the world's falling in. Chicken Run. No, like, or Chicken Little. Like, celebrate life. Live life, right? And this part, let not oil be lacking on your head. You guys know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He anoints my head with oil. That's a powerful passage when it says, let my oil not be lacking on my head. I don't know if you're aware that sheep, so here's a picture of a sheep. Sheep are really dumb. They're dumb animals, which by the way, we're all sheep, okay? That's just reality. The Bible says we're sheep and sheep are dumb. So the reason a shepherd would anoint a sheep's head with oil is because there would be flies and maggots and infestations, and they would plant things in their nose, and then worms would come out. And a sheep can't scratch its head like a dog. It can't scratch its nose. And so what a sheep would do when they would get these scratches so bad, or they would itch so bad, they would literally bang their head against rocks or the wall because it was so annoying. It would kill some sheep. If these infestations got so bad, it would kill them. So a shepherd would put oil on a sheep as a protection from these pesticides, as a protection from all these insects and things. And so when you hear anoint your head with oil, say, protect yourself in the Lord. Stop hitting your head against the wall thinking you got to figure everything out, because the great shepherd already has it all figured out. And he's not surprised by any of this. He's not sitting back being like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? Oh my gosh, they stormed the Capitol. How did he become president? Wait a minute, he's God. He's not surprised by any of this. Anoint your head with oil and sit in that. You know where the phrase they pulled the wool over their eyes comes from? It comes from the sheep. And what would happen at night is the shepherd would allow these sheep to come into the pen, and they would start running their fingers through their wool to make sure there's not any ticks or mites or anything that would be detrimental to their sheep. They'd put some oil on them. But when their wool would get so long, sometimes they would miss it and the sheep would end up dying. We need to not try to pull the wool over anyone's eye and continually allow the great shepherd to anoint us with his oils. It goes on to say in Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy life with the wife with whom you love. Fellas, this terminology should never be in your mouth. Oh, the old ball and chain. No, are you kidding? No, she's not. She's your better half. She is your best. Stephanie is my better half. She's not the ball and chain. Do you know whose idea marriage was? It wasn't ours. It was God's. It was God's idea. He performed the first marriage. Why? So that they can enjoy everything but one thing together. And they didn't listen, the knuckleheads, and now we're all into trouble. Right? But he said, enjoy everything. Hey, I want you guys to be together, and I want you to enjoy it together. I want you to celebrate together. I want you to enjoy all this together. And they blew it, and he gives you a wife, yes, for your holiness, but yes, for your happiness. And if you're missing that, you're missing why God blessed you with an amazing human being. I know that you're different and you have disagreements. Good. But you can love each other and enjoy life in the midst of that. Right? Your wife or your husband, you should enjoy life together. We're about to jump into a series in a couple weeks on dating and marriage and the whole bit. I'm so excited the direction they're going with it. So buckle up, especially if you feel right now in this season. Winter's a really tough season sometimes for married couples. It is. After the holidays and in-laws and everything, there's just tension and tension builds up. But guess what? God wants you to enjoy the moment you have with your spouse today. Be in that moment. You don't have to worry about work. Work's tomorrow. Today you get to enjoy moments with your spouse. All the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Toil under sun, all vanity, right? Back to the U-Haul. You're toiling for what? I've been able to be with praying with some people on their bedside when they're about to pass away. And every person I've ever been with to pray that are about to pass away, you know, never once has anybody that's about to take their last breath in that hospital ever told me, you know what? I wish I would have accumulated more stuff. I wish I would have made more money. Hey, will you go get me my trophies? Will you go get me my awards? Will you go get me my plaques? You know what they all want? They want their loved ones. They want the people that they care about. They want the people they made memories with. They want to share stories. They want to relive those moments they had. Moments over materials, right? And so if that's the way that 100 billion plus in one, right, live, and you know that you go to your deathbed not wanting any materials, but just the people that matter the most to you, then why wouldn't you maximize those moments you have with those people today? Rather than worrying about, oh my gosh, am I going to get taxed? Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What? God's in control. You don't need to worry about that. James 4:14 says this, right? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Think about that word picture, right? You are a mist or a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes. All of our clocks are ticking and none of us in here know when we're going to take our last breath. I pray that all of you in here know Jesus so that when you do taste your last breath, you don't have to taste the sting of death. But it's a mist, it's a vapor, and then it's gone. David called it a fleeting shadow. He said, life is a fleeting shadow. It's short. It's quick. Some of you are like, yep, I'm 80. I blinked and I got here. I don't know how. And when we get to 80 or 90, we think, well, I'm done. No. No, you're not. What's the best? I think I'm at halftime. I'm 40, so I'm about at halftime, right? I'm going to recharge talk. I'm in the middle. I'm in the locker room. I'm getting charged up by God. All right, what do we got next? We got to go out and charge the second half. We're going to win this game. Well, if you're 80 or 90, that's the best part of the game. Are you kidding me? That's the last second shot. That's the Hail Mary. That's the home run walk-off, bottom of the ninth. You're 80, 90, he's not done with you. That's the best part of the game. That's what most of you don't even tune in till then. That's the truth. I don't need to watch all this other stuff. That's the best part of the game. God still got you here for a reason. He's going to do something with you. Life is a mist. It's a vapor. It's gone, right? Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Dr. Barbash, psychology doctor, said this: worrying is one of the most futile or purposeless things that a person can do. Right? Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. I think as Christians too often we ask the question, is it right or wrong? We need to ask the question, is it wise? Is it right or wrong to respond to somebody on social media right now? I don't know if it's wise. Is it right or wrong to engage in that toxic social media conversation? I don't know if it's wise. So how about we stop asking the question, is it right or wrong in our life? And we start leading out, is it wise? Is it the wise thing to do? And then it says, making the best use of the time. We're going to go back to this word here in just a second. Because the days are foolish or evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So don't be foolish. Make the wise decision and make the most of the time that he's given you. So the time here, like you guys are probably thinking, is Chronos, right? Chronos time. That's 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 4 weeks in a month, 12 months in a year. Right? 10 years in a decade, 100 years in a decade. That's not the word time here. There wasn't even this exists when Paul wrote this. That's not the time he's talking about at all. The time in that text in Ephesians is actually the time kairos, which literally means moments. So Paul is saying, make the best use of the moments. Right? So there's three type of people in here. There's future oriented, where they're worried, oh my goodness, our country's going to H in a handbasket. What are we going to do? This is crazy. There's people that are past oriented, that live in shame or guilt or past successes or joys, and they can't control the past. And then there's moment oriented people, right where my fingers are at, that learn to live in the moment, knowing they can't control this, they can't change this, so they're going to maximize this, but be wise stewards of this. So you're either future oriented, past oriented, or you're moment oriented. God calls all of us to be moment oriented. Make the best use of the kairos, the moments he gives you. And he's going to keep giving you and I moments every single day, even though we blow it. I've blown plenty of moments in my life where I could have stepped into an apology, where I could have stepped in to share Jesus with somebody on the plane, where I could have encouraged or changed somebody's life, where I could have tipped at a waitress more to lighten up their day. There's so many moments God has given me that I've blown. But you know what? He's so full of grace for you and I, he's going to give you more moments today. Today. You don't have to worry what's going to happen the next 4 years in this country. You get to live in today. And guess what? Scripture says in Psalm 139 that he's gone before you. He's hemmed you in behind and before. And so if you do get to wake up tomorrow, God's there with $86,400 for you to spend. And to make the most of every single moment that he gives you. Because moments are a gift from God. What we do with those moments are our gift back to God. So you don't got to figure out the future. You just get an opportunity and a blessing to walk in the moments God has for you today. In this life that's a mist, it's a fleeting shadow, the vapor. He says, make the most of these moments. In this crazy pandemic, maximize these moments. In the craziness of this world around us, maximize the moments we're in today. And watch what happens. Test me on this. Watch what happens when you step into a moment that God has for you and how it impacts somebody's life, how it changes somebody's day, how you walking out the gospel of Jesus Christ and into someone's life, watch what happens when you maximize that moment. Pray with me. God, thank you so much that you are in control, that you're on the throne, that you will never cease to be on that throne. We love you. We thank you. I pray for this body of believers that they too would walk in those moments that you have for them today. Whatever it be, whatever interaction, whatever phone call, whatever text, God, may they make the most of that kairos, that opportunity you lay before them. Thank you for your unrelenting grace for continually giving us these moments. We pray for this country. We pray for this church. We pray for the entire world and give it and trust that it's in your hands. In the matchless and mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said.